Okay. So this is, I'm going to back up just a minute. This is something the Lord spoke to me in 2015 during my quiet time with him. And it made a profound influence, had a profound influence on my life. And I know I've spoken this just verbally to people over the ever since then, over the years, encouraged people about this, what he showed me, how important this is, and he directed me to go back to this, which he normally doesn't do. And so that was a little bit of a change for me. And I had to go through a bunch of notebooks to find my notes, because these were just handwritten notes that I had written down. And I found it, and so that's what I'm going to present tonight. I'm just going to teach it to you the way he taught it to me. And so 1 Kings 13, 1 through 24 says, "Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, where Jeroboam was standing at the altar to burn incense." So this is an interesting passage, because this is a prophet, but we never hear his name. He's just a man of God, but he's come with a prophecy. You know, maybe we don't call him a prophet. Maybe we just call him a man of God, which is the same thing that we are, men and women of God. He was a man that God told him, go to Bethlehem, go to Bethel. He was from Judah. He's going into Israel, and he's going to talk to this. He has something to say to this king who he's going to find at the altar. Now, Israel at that time wasn't serving the Lord. This Jeroboam was a wicked king, and they weren't serving the Lord. And he was actually going to do sacrifices on the altar, which was forbidden by God. Only the priests could do that. Mm-hmm. So this is an important time. He's told him. Now the guy is from Bethel, okay, from Judah, and he's told him, go to Bethel and give this word to the king. And he cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you." Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out." Okay, so he's prophesying. He's not only prophesying this king, but he's prophesying. Josiah was the young king. We all remember him as the child king, okay, that was born years later. Nobody knew this. So this was something the Lord told him to prophesy. So he's not only prophesying a prophecy for in the future, but he's prophesying something that's going to happen right now. It said, and when the king heard the saying of the man of God, he cried against the altar in Bethel. Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, "Seize him." But his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king said to the man of God, "Please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and it became as it was before. So this is a man who hears from God. And we need to understand, he hears from God, and God hears him when he prays. That's going to be important when we get on in this message. It says, "Then the king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward.' But the man of God said to the king, 'If you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way in which he had come to Bethel." So this is the first thing that the Lord showed me. I don't always obey fully like this guy did, okay? So there's times, you know, this prophet, this man of God, could have said when the king invited him home, he could have thought, wow, this is my opportunity. I mean, the king's heart is tender right now because his hand was frozen and the Lord just touched him. And I could go back with him and I could maybe persuade him to stop sacrificing. I could maybe, this is my opportunity. And the Lord said, sometimes you do that. Sometimes I tell you to do something, but you don't stop at what I tell you to do. You go on and you try to help me out. Like I have an opportunity right now. Now, God didn't tell me, but I could help him right here. I have the opportunity. This person's, and we go on and do what he didn't tell us to do. So that was the first thing he pointed out. He said, he did only what I told him to do. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm guilty. I've done that many times. Tried to help him, tried to go on and just kind of further, like, whoa, their heart's, this would be a good opportunity. Okay, let's go on. Now, an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came to him and told him all the deeds which the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken to the king, these also they related to their father. Their father said to them, which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God, which the man who came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord and said, bring him back to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and he ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting down at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the command of the Lord, you have not observed this commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which I said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. And it came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown on the road, with the donkey standing beside it, and the lion also standing beside his body. And the Lord said to me, he didn't believe the wicked king, but he believed the prophet of God more than he believed the word I gave to him. And he said to me, Julie, you need to weigh everything before me. You can't just listen to somebody because you think, oh, they're a prophet, they're a Christian, they're a... And you have to weigh everything before me. Matthew Henry, who is one of my favorite commentarians, says this, and you have to... I'm going to read it slow so you can pay attention because he talks in Old English. He wrote his commentary a long time ago, and he talks in Old English, but... listen to his commentary on 1 Kings 13:1. He says, God's people are more in danger of being drawn away from their duty by plausible pretenses of divinity and sanctity than by external inducements. We have, therefore, need to beware of false prophets and not believe every spirit. So it's not the world and the wicked people that are going to draw us away from the Lord. It's going to be the people who appear to be the church, the people who appear to be Christians, the people who appear to be prophets and people who have something to say. We think, oh yeah, they're a good Christian. And it's going to be those. He said the prophet believed the word. He believed the word of the old prophet more than he believed the word I had given him. He didn't weigh it before me. He didn't. When he said, oh, an angel appeared to me, he should have went before the Lord and said, you told me not to eat, not to drink here. Have you changed your mind? Have you? But he didn't. He just believed him. He believed him because he appeared to be a man of God. He believed him. You know, we hear over and over in the New Testament, Matthew 24:11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. 2 Peter 2:1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. It's not from the outside that we're going to get drawn away. We're going to get drawn away by listening to somebody teach and not knowing the Word of God. And when they teach, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that sounds good. Wow, I haven't heard it that way. That's really, that's good. Or having somebody prophesy over you, you know, and prophesy something and you think, wow, that's awesome. I tell you what, with prophecy, we have to be careful because either the Lord is going to have already spoke something to you and a prophecy is just going to confirm it, or if a prophecy is spoke over to you, the Lord will confirm it. He says in 2 Corinthians 13:1, this is the third time I am coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So if somebody speaks something to you, or if God speaks, if you think God has spoken something to you, it should always be confirmed. Mm-hmm. You should always, and you'll hear it. I mean, because I had this issue in my past. I'm doing so much better now. I've learned to just obey the first time and not have to listen to it over and over. But where the Lord would speak to me something, usually when I'm reading the Word or I'm listening to somebody preaching on the radio or maybe at church, and I hear him say something to me, and it's generally something needs to change. And I go, okay, yeah, I probably need to work on that. And then I turn my radio on and I hear it again. And then I get in the Word and I hear it again. And then I'm like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. It's confirmed. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. So we need to be so careful that, especially in this day and time, because this is the thing that's going to pull the church away. It's not going to be the world. It's going to be the crazy stuff that's taught out of Christians, out of the man and woman of God. It's going to be, those are going to be the things that are going to get people way off. It's a warning. To those, he said to me, this is a warning to those that I use, strictly obey my word and my instructions, weigh everything before me. So we need to come to him, and sometimes it's as easy as we hear something, and you know, there's a lot of time, I tell you what, I hear preachers, big names, on TV and the radio, and they say stuff, and I think, that ain't right.
That's
not right. And I'll go back to the Word of God, and I'll read it again to make sure I'm not remembering it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, that's not right. And I don't know that they intentionally, you know, I don't know that they're like, I'm going to deceive everybody. I really believe that the deception's going to come, the enemy's going to do it, and we're not even going to know that he's doing it. You know, I think what happens is they are preaching something, and they remember a part of a, you know, scripture, and they go, ooh, that would fit there, but it really didn't go there. It really doesn't apply. That isn't even how it, I mean, I hear that all the time. I'm like, that doesn't even apply to, that wasn't what he was talking about. But if we don't know the Word, it's going to be easy to be deceived. If we don't know the Word, if we haven't spent time in the Word and we don't know where we can go, no, I don't believe that's exactly what he was saying. I don't believe that scripture really even applied to what they're talking about. But they've used it to apply to what they're talking about. You know, so we need to know the word. We need to weigh everything, you know, and sometimes, like I said, it's as easy as going back to the word and rereading it and go, yeah, no, that isn't. So I'm not going to receive that. That isn't what, sometimes it requires us spending time with the Lord, you know, especially in a prophecy or somebody says something to us or, you know, and we're kind of like, I don't know, you know, go before the Lord and just spend some time and go, hey, this was just prophesied over me, or I just heard this spoken and something just isn't right, you know, and show me. I can tell you, there's probably only been a couple times I've ever done this, but there was something that my pastor said, and I kind of thought, man, I can't reconcile that with what I've read. And so I actually just sent an email and said, can you expound on that for me? And when he did, then I was okay with it. But there isn't anything wrong with saying, you know, or with going to the Lord or going back to the Word or just, you know, it's important. It's important that we weigh things. The word weigh in Hebrew is shagal, and it means to attach a price to. We need to attach a price to the things we let in to our spirit.
Yes.
We need, and the other part is to weigh, to spend as in a balance, like on a scale. So that's, you know, that weightiness. We just don't want to take things in flippantly and, oh, that's so good. Yeah, let me, oh, yeah. We need to go, and I want to be careful what I let in. I want to be careful that I understand that this really is from the Lord. And like I said, I don't believe that, I mean, I believe that there are some people who are deceived and are teaching a lot of crazy stuff in these days. But I don't believe everybody is deceived. I believe that the enemy just kind of slips in, and you know, when the Lord gives me, or when I'm going to speak, and scripture comes to me, and I think, oh, this would fit in this message, I always make sure that it's in the right context, that I'm not putting something in that doesn't really fit just because it sounds good right there. But sometimes people, I think, get kind of careless, and they do things like that. And so we, you know, then we're like, oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. So we need to be, and I love that Paula and Robert so much emphasize being in the Word and being with the Lord. It's so important, especially in these last days. It's so important. So we need His judgment on everything. Here's some things that He showed me. People asking, there are times when people come and ask me to pray for them. And one of the things I say, probably the majority of the time, is, what have you heard from the Lord? Has the Lord spoke anything about this to you? And they'll go, well, yeah. And I'm like, well, what's he told you? Well, he's told me I need to stay there, you know. And I'm like, they're wanting to get a different word. They don't like that word. They're wanting to get a different word, and they're wanting it to come from me, because they think maybe I've heard something. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to agree with you that you'll have the strength to do what he's asked you to do. That you'll have the, you know, I mean, because sometimes people just, they're not being obedient. You can pray anything you want over that person. If the Lord's told them something, they're not being obedient to it, your prayer isn't going anywhere. And then you're like, wow, I prayed for this to happen for that person because they're wanting this to happen, and I agreed with them on that, and it didn't happen. I don't know why that didn't happen. Well, it could be that they'd already gotten a word, and they're not being obedient to that word already.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to be careful when we pray for people, what we're praying, and that we're not just, they're not using us, you know, in that way, and us being ignorant. So weigh everything. Go, what's going on? What's, you know, what do you think is happening? Why do you think this kind of stuff is going on? Sometimes it's good to ask a few questions. And, you know, sometimes people start opening up and you're thinking, I can't pray that God will bless you. You're not even, you know, you're not even doing the right thing right now, you know? I mean, it's like, I'll get to that. I'm jumping ahead. in Jeremiah 6:14, it says, and they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially by saying, peace, peace, but there's no peace. Yeah, so we can pray peace over a person, Like they can say, I'm just so anxious, I'm just so anxious, I just need some peace. And you can go, okay, let me pray peace over you. But listen to what the word says. Sometimes when we pray peace over people, we really need to be praying for submission, for trust in God, for unwavering faith, for them to abide in him, because those are the things that give us peace. According to Isaiah 26, 2 and 3, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, that the one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. That's what's going to keep that person in peace. Not you just praying over them, peace, I pray peace, I pray peace. And then that person's not praying, and you're like, wow, that prayer didn't get answered. I guess God doesn't answer prayers, huh? Well, it could be that we just didn't take the time to find out what's going on. Like, what's going on in your life that you've got all this anxiety? And help that person. You know, help that person. Walk that person through. Do you trust God? Do you really believe? Do you really understand how much he loves you and how much he wants to take care of you? Get them to get into that place of faith and trust. And they get into that place, they're just automatically going to have peace. We don't have to try to pray that over them. We become deceived by only knowing part of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Too many people only know the promises. They can quote you the promises. They can tell you what the promises of God are. Every promise has a qualifier.
Yeah.
God's love is free. His salvation is free, but every promise has a qualifier to it. There's not a promise in the Bible besides eternal life that doesn't come with a qualifier with it. And so, and it's been that way. In Jeremiah 7, 1 and 2, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's house. Now he's talking to the people of God, right? Of the Lord's house, and proclaim these words. Hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah, who enter by the gates to worship the Lord. So these are people who, they're not just the people of God, but they go to worship. Okay, these people go to church. They go to church. So he's speaking to his people, right? He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to his people. He says in verse 4, do not trust in deceptive words saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And then on verse 8, he goes on to say, behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. They felt like because they went to the temple to worship, that they were okay. A lot of people think because they go to church, they're okay. Yeah. They're not okay. It isn't just about, well, I go to church. If you're not spending time with the Lord and his word, you can be deceived. And it tells us in the end times, lots of people are going to fall away. That's in the word. It's guaranteed it's going to happen. And the ones who aren't going to fall away are the ones who are going to be in the word and on their knees and weighing things before the Lord when we start hearing really crazy stuff going on. You know, like, what's going on here? Why is this happening? You know, instead of getting in fear and getting in, you know, just go before him. He says, he goes on in Jeremiah 8:8, so the next chapter, he says, how can you say we are wise? The law of the Lord is with us, but behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. So they believed that they knew the word. We know the word. We know the laws. Back then it was the law, right? We know what the law is. We're good. They weren't living the law. They knew the law. They weren't living it. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. But they thought, we're going to church. We know the law. We're okay. I've had some very ungodly people quote scripture to me before. Very much. Know the word. They know the word. But boy, they are not living it. They have not a clue what they say. I'm thinking, yeah, you know it. You can quote it. You have no idea what that really means because your lifestyle definitely does not show that you know. You know, oh, yeah, I. Anyway, we need to be careful who we listen to. We don't need to run here and there to get a word. We need to spend time in the word and with the word so that when we hear the word, we know if it's correct. And if we still have a question, then we need to go before the Lord and let him answer us. Yeah. Show me. Show me where this is found. This just doesn't quite sit right with me. And I'm telling you, the more I'm understanding of the word and the longer I walk with the Lord, the more things I hear. And I'm just like, that's not right. It's to the point now, I don't listen to much preaching on the radio or TV. I mean, I used to all the time. But I would hear so many things. Like people say, I heard a well-known TV preacher say, you just take the Old Testament, cut it out, and throw it away. I went, are you kidding me? Jesus quoted the Old Testament all the time. Mm-hmm. If you were supposed to throw it away, he wouldn't have quoted it. Yeah. No. I'm like, okay, and I'm not a TV evangelist, and I know that. You know, but how many people don't? How many people don't? So we need to know. We need to be careful how we pray for people and ourselves. We need to always go to the Lord for a judgment. I talked about that one time about, you know, being that priest and going before the Lord and getting a judgment on everything. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. It doesn't matter whether you're a prophet or a gatekeeper. God will direct you. He doesn't only do that for prophets. He does it for everybody. If you weigh it before him, then he expects you to obey what he tells you. We can't add to it, and we can't try to get somebody else to add to it. We just need to obey it. And so, I mean, he was very serious with me the day he told me this. He said, Julie, weigh everything before me. Don't let anything go by. Don't, even when people come up to get prayer, you know, when I was doing prayer ministry at church, you know, and they ask for prayer, don't just go with whatever they ask you to pray. Ask me how to pray. Ask me what's going on. Ask me what's, you know, I had a situation years ago before he had taught me this, but it was when he was really beginning to teach me about prayer that one of my kids had called me and asked for prayer for a better job. Mom, I really need a better job. Will you pray that I get a better job? And I'm like, yeah, I'll pray, because I'm thinking, you know, right, the Bible says, right, he wants to bless us, he wants to prosper us, right, okay. And so the next morning when I was having my prayer time, I was, you know, just saying, this kid needs a better job, and I know you've got a better job out there, and I'm just, you know, quoting all the scripture and doing, and the Lord said, I can't answer that prayer. And I went, you can't answer that prayer? Like, your word says that you want us to prosper and be in health, you want to, what do you mean you can't answer that prayer? And he said, if I gave that child more money, they would misspend it. They're already not doing right with what they've got. And I went, whew, okay. I said, so do you want me to tell him that? And he said, no, I will. Like, all right, yeah. No, really, I kind of wanted to tell him, but, you know, that's when you go, okay, I got to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And he said, I will tell them. And so he said, pray. Pray that they'll hear from me. Pray that they'll pay attention to me. Pray that they'll get back in a right relationship with me so that I can then bless them. You know, pray, you know, so he tells you, he'll tell you what the issue, you know, when you're, I mean, you just ask him, how do I pray about this? They say they need more money. Do they really need more money? Maybe they just need to learn to spend their money better. Maybe they're going out and making a lot of bad decisions with their money. And then they're going like, hey, I need more money. Yeah, so you know what? The best thing you can pray for that person is that person learns how to control their spending. Mm-hmm. That prayer, the Lord will answer. He's like, yes, that's what I want. You know, you pray, but we pray amiss, and then we don't know why our prayers don't get answered. Mm-hmm. But it's because we haven't really asked. We haven't really weighed stuff before him. But in these last days, it's so important. So after he spoke all this to me, he actually gave me a word. And this word still holds true today. So I'm going to read it to you exactly what he said to me that day in 2015. He said, if you will listen to me, spend time with me, study me, you will have every promise recorded in my word. But you must stop your working and learn how I work, how I move, how I love. Then and only then will you truly walk in peace in the midst of the storms. Excuse me. No one else can give you that assurance. No one nor anything else can provide for you what I can't. So sit with me, walk with me, and know me, and then trust me, and you'll walk in perfect peace and love. And I was like, whoa, okay. He's serious. He wants our time. And he wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his word, because that's how the best place to know him is to know his word, right? And we really get to know who he is when we're in his word. And but I can tell you my times with him like this, in the word, and in my prayer times, and that it has changed my life more than any message I've ever heard, than any conference I've ever gone to, than any revival I've ever been in. Those quiet times, those times alone with the Lord, are what's changed me, are what's taught me, what's directed me, and that's what he wants. And we as the church need to be in that place. We need to be prepared for what's coming. It's already started. I mean, I hear so many crazy things that people preach, now. And so many churches, we see so many churches, that are like embracing homosexuality, and they're embracing, and oh yeah, we love everybody. Well, yeah, we love everybody, but we're not going to sanction them in our church. We're not going to have them teach a class. They're welcome to come to our church. That's where they need to be, right? Those people need to come to church so that God can speak to them, and especially if they're not having private time with him at home. They need to be there. But we don't ordain them. We don't, confer our blessing upon them and marry them. And, there's just so much, like the abortion thing. There's a whole group of ministers who had celebrated when they signed that abortion bill to abort clear up to the day of birth. And I'm like, I saw that. I'm like, I checked to make sure that wasn't fake. I thought, that's got to be fake news. It has to be fake news. It's not. It's not. A woman's right. And I'm like, so contrary to Word of God. These people are in churches ministering, and they don't even know the Word of God. Or they're like the guy that, oh, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply now. That was old. That was under law. We are, I guess God changed his mind when he got to the New Testament. He just changed who he was, right? Yeah, no. So we have to know this. So anyway, I just want to close in prayer. Tonight. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you that you care enough about us to bring us a message like this, to get our attention, to hone our skills. Father, we want to be people who know what you're doing and what you want to do. We don't want to be out there just praying anything and believe in anybody. We want to know what you want, because we want your kingdom to come on this earth. We want your will done on this earth. And the only way that can happen is when we are in communion with you, when we have that time where we come before you in every situation, not even just in the preaching and mishandling of your word, God, but in every situation that comes across our path. God, that we know the right way to handle that, because you do. You do. It's your will. You have a will you want done on this earth. And when we come to you and we bring every situation before you, you'll show us exactly what that will is, exactly what we're to do and what you're going to do. And so, Father, just help us. Help us. Help us to become more weighty with things and to bring them before you more and more conscious of what we're letting in and what we're believing and the words that we're believing and the things that people speak to us, whether we take that and receive it or not. And so I thank you, God. I thank you for those people who do speak truth and those people who do weigh things before you and are careful how they speak. I thank you for Robert and Paula, because I know they are. They're careful about what they teach and what they speak, and they weigh it before you. And so, Father, I just I ask that you bless all of them on their trip as they're away, and I ask that you bless us tonight with this this revelation that we're to bring things before you, and that's what you want. That's what you did in the garden. You walked and talked with Adam and Eve, and you want the very same relationship with us. And so I thank you tonight, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity to share this word that you spoke to me. In Jesus' name, amen.